Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Got Brain podcast presented by Cognitivology, where we will continuously discuss and present in detail the mechanics of intuitive intelligence that are built on our inborn basic intuition. Plus, we will also be presenting the true mechanics and virtues of diversification. Now, you may be pondering, what do these two things have in common? And this is something we will continue to present and unfold for you about the significant connection between these two facets of our human potential. I would like to introduce myself. I am Carla Mencken-Wolf, and also my wonderful best friend and editor, Bryce Conway. And she's going to say something. What would you like to say?
Hi, everybody. My name is Bryce Conway, as Carla Mencken-Wolf had just said. I wanted to say that we are, in fact, the mechanics of intuition and diversification. I hope you guys enjoy our presentation and stick around for others. We welcome all comments and questions. We will try to answer them all throughout the next couple of weeks or months, and hopefully on this journey of brain potential discovery, you guys will learn something. This information is only was developed by us and only can be presented by cognitivologists, which is what we are.
And we also hope to learn something from you from all of you in our audience, as we learn about the questions and inquiries you have about true human brain potential, or the genuine, bona fide, authentic potentialities of what our brain has intended us to be and become in all of our commonality and our uniqueness. Yes. Hello, everyone. Again, we're back.
Hello.
And, what shall we talk to you about today?
I never know.
You never know.
You put forth a statement or question or idea, and I just follow along.
Yeah, usually we talk about it a little bit beforehand, and then we decide to go ahead and just record.
Yes.
And I think that It's to some degree it's improvised, and to some degree it's creative, but when people often ask me, like, do you prepare every single note for your podcast? And the reason I say that is a non-issue is mainly because it's hardly as if I've ever come to the podcast with a couple of notes in front of me. Clearly, that is true, that I have notes in front of me. Like,
oh,
right,
absolutely.
Now I have notes in front of me. And
yes.
I'm constantly writing down notes that
constantly
add tentacles to the whole intuitive intelligence and creative thinking and critical thinking device that has been encoded into our brains, that this is one of the grandest potentials we have.
Yes.
And it's what makes human cognition particularly human.
Unfortunately, you would think that could go without saying, but I guess we had to say it.
Right. So, for instance, we delve into environments and forces and energy and knowledge and prospects and perspectives that reach beyond just the immediate environment, but other places that have never been part of our environment, even on the same planet, and then beyond our planet and into the solar system and the galaxy. And we often speak about discovering knowledge. I mean, science, I think, would often speak about discovering knowledge and discovering what makes things tick in the natural world and exploring more about the universe so that we can know more about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very true statement. And I like that basic postulation as a shared concept across the fields of science, which is the basis for many other fields that we develop and create and conjure and learn about. But we have to remember that science itself is based upon natural knowledge, which fundamentally is a mathematical prospect, a natural math prospect. But I think that even while we are saying that we want to learn more about ourselves, that we could learn more about ourselves by trying to discover the universe, mm-hmm. is that we miss realizing that our particular brains need the knowledge of the universe in order to fully develop. So there's kind of like a dichotomy in human development where we have to really understand all the selfies of ourself, or the internal aspects of ourself, or what makes us tick, and at the same time have an attachment to the things outside of ourself. But in the current narratives of the way people are thinking, even as the whole self-improvement, adulting, human progress thing is progressing forward, and we think of our world more than just the town that we grew up in, and just without having to wonder what the rest of the world looks like, we can actually delve into that kind of information.
Yes.
We want to see what people look like or dress like.
Definitely have access to all of that
right
now.
What kind of food they eat on the other side. I mean, it's possible that in olden days, people never necessarily knew that people on the other side of the world spoke a different language, or if they did, what did that sound like? What did they eat? You know, did they really understand things the way that we understood them?
Right. Right.
But now we can, as a species, be conjoined, because we take it for granted that certain things are fundamental to all of us. Uh-huh. So for instance, love is always our number one topic, really, because yes, that's the supreme emotion that's necessary for our emotionally developed human brains. Mm-hmm. And would you like to say something about that?
What just popped in is it's also the supreme intellect.
Yes, it's the supreme knowledge. And as we spoke about in a couple of podcasts ago, or we were putting on our website, was when we were speaking about babies, people inadvertently or unconsciously always try to impose some kind of discipline on their babies, even where to the point where it might make the baby uncomfortable. But we have to really follow the lead of what's comfortable for babies, to let them feel that they can trust us to allow them to explore whatever's going on, at that they're always going to be secure and comforted. So is it necessary to completely wipe off their whole face before you give them the next spoonful of food when they've really worked up an appetite?
Right.
It's better for them to just get the food and for the mess to be cleaned afterwards. Because this is showing that we're trusting also what they're telling us, that they're hungry, mm-hmm. and that we are going to love them through this need that they need and want right now, which is to be fed. So that this is a more sort of substantial definition of what we might call unconditional love, because the first discipline in life is love.
Right.
And it's the basis for everything. So love is the discipline, or the discipline is love. So it's the same when we speak about our brains. We want to learn about the universe so we could learn more about ourselves. But We also need to learn more about ourselves in order to understand the universe better.
We also need to learn how to love ourselves better.
Right. But it should be an intuitively etched process within us, which is one of the reasons we decided to speak about the selfies. You know, what is the depiction of me? What is the depiction of you?
Right.
In accordance with the ability design or the diversified, creative, unique ability, set of abilities design that you have as an individual. And regardless of how unique each person is, because each person is very unique.
Yes.
The basis is love. So when, even though we talk about uniqueness, we have to understand the basis that supports each person's uniqueness. So we all require love. That's all there is to it.
Yes.
So in this way, we're connected as a species. So the original sort of title that I wanted to go with today was the idea that in real human development, if we thought of it as a play, a stage play, you have all kinds of characters and props and motivations and applications and events, and there's steps and milestones that come to fulfilling the final achievement of, say, doing a performance of a play or a show or whatever that might be. Right. So, and when you consider that our brains take whatever, 25 years, I said whatever, but we know it's pretty much anywhere between 22 and 25 years for full development. And those are where we're putting all the props together that go into, and then that way we can be engaged in the performance of our life. So every day is another scene in the performance of our life that's based on love. And the way the world works is that we get to adulthood and instead we're trying to recover love so that then we can start living our lives. But we need to be positioned. It is supposed to be our birthright to live according to that love rather than having to chase it down. So once we learn that self-love is really an intuitive process that is fundamentally laid during those years of cognitive development and intuitive development, then we reach the culmination or the end of the brain development years and self-love is there. So when we talk about it now as though it is a normal concept and a normal matter, and that's true, but we should be able to take it for granted in the sense that it's there to serve us.
Right.
Right. And to just spend the rest of our lives trying to restore what should have been placed there, then that way we can, because all of our abilities need our self-love.
Okay.
So we need to be able to embark on our abilities to fulfill the purpose of love as unique individuals through our abilities. And these are also the platforms through which we engage with other people. They're the platforms through which we do all of our socializing.
Right.
So sometimes now, instead of people understanding their own true unique abilities, they use socializing itself as an ability, but socializing is a grand byproduct or prospect of the way we use our abilities. And we're already feeling fulfilled, and the fulfillment of our abilities also gives us the ability to help others feel fulfilled because we are sharing that with them. And in that sense, what it means is that people are always longing to learn. And so as they learn about other people and other people's abilities, that becomes the learning fulfillment. There's a part of us as humans where we are looking outside of ourselves. A lot of the narratives and rhetoric this day says, only look inside yourself, only fulfill yourself, self-love, and then love will come to you, or people will love you. And that's very, very true. We're supposed to be intuitively fitted with love. But because of the way that we're designed, our brains require emotional development and socializing, because emotional development requires relationships, and that requires communication. So there, it's a difficult concept to balance. It seems like a dichotomy, but upon the fulfillment of our true selfie, our own true selfie, the depiction of our own true selfie, then we can look outside of ourselves to see how we are also being additionally fulfilled.
Right.
But that would never be based on a sense of incompletion within ourselves, but that we connect as human beings, and that others get something from us by us sharing our abilities with them, and we get something from them by them sharing their abilities with us. But for each person, that sense of sharing is based on a self-fulfillment of intuitively understanding and having unconditional love for ourselves. So that's sort of the rudimentary mechanism of the true selfie of each person, the true selfie depiction. And it works one in the same with intuition, because to know our own true self gives us the mechanism to properly telepath with ourselves, because we're also feeding our own abilities with continual knowledge that we can get from the natural universe and as we share with other people.
Right.
And so self-love and cognition, which is continued learning, and intuition are a trinity. We've written about this, where we like to put some things in. People like to talk about dualities, but there's also a lot of trinities in the way that we develop.
Right.
So that's actually an important part of understanding true human potential, because a lot of the narratives also somehow dictate to people that, well, mind is over here and heart's another thing. Oh, but the heart's more powerful. And oh, but the mind is here. But, you know, your mind doesn't really matter, because all that matters is your feelings. But when you're reasoning, forget about your feelings. Just, you know, be, you know, serious and stoic. And then it's, you know, your body will respond to your mind or your heart. But then at the same time, we're saying that, you know, those two other things are not connected. Let's get everything really defined in by the interconnectivity of how the rest of the universe works. That's really the defining criteria and the standard model for understanding how we really operate. Like, stop leaving major characters and props out of the equation of who you are. Invite them all to the party. Invite them all to the dress rehearsal. And as caretakers or educationists or educators or as parents,
keep going.
This is how we want to, these are some of the continuing applications or natural apps that we give to children in support of their intuitive intelligence development. Mm-hmm. Because we really need that for everything. If we just look at the way that our body works, so many things in our body work because they've been programmed, they've been coded, they have that algorithm, it's an instinct. But they are also, those things are tied to our brains.
Right.
So if all those things in our body are working in an intuitive fashion, you know, where do we get off saying, that intuition is only just this one thing, like a gut instinct or,
right,
you know, intuition is operating so many platforms, or it's managing many different operations, and it's constantly on a, you could say, a manufacturing spree. And when we consider how we really want to bring things together as a diversified synthesis of who we are, then that is the ultimate selfie that we want to aspire to, because we give credit to we give credit to all of our emotions, but our emotions are also the seeds of our abilities. So we give credit to all of our abilities. And I understand that people have a hard time identifying what their abilities are.
Right.
This is one of the other struggles that I think people go through. So again, it's important for children from very early on in their life to be given free exploration of what attracts them, what compels them. So it's one thing to come up with remedies when we're adults, so these endless remedies and these very creative ideas for fixing ourselves or right, restoring all the broken parts and the wounded inner child, but it's better to raise an unwounded child so that we have a better operating adults in the world. Okay.
Well, that is where we're trying to get to. I mean, that's why we are continually putting out information and writing books and doing our podcast and talking to individuals.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely changing the narrative about how to be properly developed rather than just how to fix the improper development that seems to have become the norm in people's minds for so long. So I hope that gives a little bit more insight into the underlying nerve center for our natural selfies.
Okay.
Take a picture of yourselves. Okay, nice to have you all again.
Thank you. And now a new update, actually. You can find or ask Carla any question about intuition on the platform Quora.
Quora is this. Definitely. I actually signed up for a couple of spaces, but as I'm still getting a little bit more accustomed to it, so far I've been answering questions regarding intuition. So hope to meet you there. And if you've been a bit shy about putting forth questions here on our podcast, on our direct email, then please feel free to go to Cure and then you can ask your questions there. And we also, you can ask us any questions about brain development and human potential in general. Okay. Until next time.
Until next time. Buy us a coffee.
Yes, please.